This is the first in a series of podcasts that are going to look at the values that God gave to us in our year of prayer that led up to this church plant. In this podcast, we're going to look at the value of mission, particularly toward the marginalized and the neighborhoods. As I prepare these words, it's raining outside. You can probably tell by the sound in the background that I'm sitting in a coffee shop, one of my favorite ones on Lonsdale. Some guys are sitting in a window in front of me playing a game of dice, drinking coffee, smoking cigarettes. But it's raining outside. When it rains, my heart is often drawn back to the picture that God gave to us in our year of prayer, which led up to our church plant. It was a picture, for those of you that recall, about living water flowing from our churches into the world around us. Without question, that picture has been coming to life over the past couple of years. Slowly, perhaps. But as we step back to gain perspective, we can all see that drop by drop, trickle by trickle with the odd burst here and there, water is being channeled in us and into the world. What's interesting is that as these trickles begin to flow out, what is accompanying this, perhaps unknowingly to us, is a reprogramming of our minds into the realization that the fundamental posture of the church is actually one of going. It might seem obvious, but we are learning that water really only comes to our world by us intentionally going with it, carrying it into the world. So through our prayer and deeds, miraculous acts, words well spoken and timely spoken, the time spent, meals served, testimony offered, on it goes, in these acts, water is being carried by us into our world. And in this activity, we assume the posture of going, the posture that we were always meant to assume. Whether we know it or not in this season, we are being reshaped into what God has always intended the church to be shaped like. For a while in our history, it seems that the church lost sight of this basic movement. We were lulled into passivity, into wrong thinking. We thought that it was about the world coming to us. That if we could just offer the right things, the right programs, if we would advertise well, slickly, if the preacher could preach well, if he could even be an evangelist, then those that are looking will find it. They'll come, they'll hear, they'll receive. And to be honest, on some level, that worked. For a season of time, the church building, the preacher, was seen in our world as the place or the person where wandering and, in this case, thirsty souls could go and find hope. But I think we would probably all agree that that day has now passed us. And in some way, I say thank God that it has. Because what happened in that season was that the church was lulled, the priesthood of all believers was lulled further into a place of passivity. We lost sight that the mandate of Jesus was for all of his disciples, not just a few special ones, gifted ones, but all to go into the world, carrying water to those that were thirsty. Never did he say, build something well and they'll come to you. He knew that we were to go, all of us, the whole priesthood. Now, I must admit that as I say that word, go, I'm hesitant to do so. For me, and for perhaps for you, it is laden with feelings of guilt and burden that were heaped on me from what I would say would be well-meaning teachers and preachers of my past. Now, how often do we hear, it's up to you, you need to go, the world is perishing. These sentiments came so often throughout my life. And unfortunately, they were also often laden with guilt and with burden. But I don't think that God ever intended that for us. If you've been around for a while, you know what I speak of. And so I'm hesitant to use the word go for fear of dredging up all that baggage. The challenge with avoiding that is that that's the word that Jesus used. I mean, consider these familiar words again that we've heard so often from Matthew 20:29. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, therefore go. And make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you to the very end of the age. Go was his word. Therefore, go and make disciples. And so, even though the word is laden with guilt, then I suppose that the question maybe more for us to ask is, well, how did Jesus use that word? What did he mean? And I believe that the answer is found by looking at Jesus and examining how it was that he went. He also heard a call from his father to go. He also was sent. And as our rabbi, the teacher we follow, surely he wouldn't have called us to go in any way other than he himself went. And in fact, as I think about this, the Spirit reminds me of Jesus' own words. In John 20, 21, he said this, "As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." In other words, as I was sent, as I went, now I'm asking you to go. So how was it that he went? How did he go? That's the question. And I think when we see Jesus going, it appears to me that he never went out of guilt or out of burden. Rather, Jesus went out of love. Love, first of all, for his Father and being faithful to his Father's plan of redemption and mercy in the world. And by extension of that, obviously then also, a love for the nations, because the Father's heart of redemption and mercy was to bring love to the world. Consider the words of John 17. Jesus is wrapping up his ministry. He goes to the disciple, into the garden, and he prays. And this is what he prays. He says, "Father, I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do." See, that's faithfulness to the Father. And then he says this, "And I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word." The impulse, it's this dual impulse of going, first of all, in obedience to the Father, in love for the Father, and then through that, a love to the nations. For Jesus, going was never born out of guilt or out of burden. And that's not to say that it was devoid of pain or suffering, but I think that's another issue altogether. What we're dealing with here is motivation. And he was not motivated out of guilt. He went out of love. And he's calling us to follow this pattern, to live as he lived in our world. Again, I say this so often, but the one constant invitation that Jesus offered to people was this, "Come and follow me." And as a rabbi to his disciples, this is what he intended, that people would see him, that we would see him, and do and act in the way that he did and act. So we're called to go. It's the impulse of the church, but we go as Jesus went, not saddled with burden and responsibility, not shackled with guilt. And in fact, I think if we still are holding on to that in our hearts, this measure of guilt, this measure of burden when it comes to this idea of going, might I be so bold as to say that I believe that we're listening or that you're listening to lies? This is not the heart of the Father to laden you with guilt and anxiety and to send you out under that burden. He wants you to go out in love for him and what he's done for you, and in love for the nations. Now, if I look at my own life, I fear that this is a message that I still often miss. My impulse is going is often shackled to anxiety and to guilt and to fear. And I would suppose that anything that's actually born out of that motive, born out of that place, will not in the end be what it's supposed to be. And that certainly the others around me will be able to pick up on that. We need the Holy Spirit to break this anxiety from us and to replace it instead with simple, peace-filled response of a love for the nations. When Jesus prayed for his disciples in John 17, he prayed that they would be filled to the full measure of joy. And I believe that was to be present in us even when we respond to this call to go. Now let's go back to the water for a second. When God spoke to us about being channels by which the living water flowed into the world, the picture in my mind that always accompanied that message was this very slick subterranean network of pipes. I envisioned a cross-section of the ground under Vancouver with a complex array of conduits ushering water in this direction and that direction. Maybe you had a similar picture in mind. Today, as I've been looking at the rain and thinking about the water, though, for the first time ever, I've had a different picture in my mind. And I have realized that the first picture, I think, was actually a betrayal of God's intention for his church, and maybe more acutely for our churches. I sense that at least two things were wrong with that picture. First of all, it was really slick. It was this cross-section of these, of a scene above the skyline of Vancouver, and then it would cross down under the dirt, and underneath were these slick gray and silver pipes going everywhere. It was slick. And secondly, it was lacking something. What was the picture lacking? It was lacking people. And God has never intended the transmission of water to be slick, and nor has he ever intended it to be devoid of people. Water gets to people through people, carried along on channels of relationship and solidarity. And so today, that picture has been replaced, I believe, by the Holy Spirit in my mind. I think that he's aligning my imagination with his. And what has been the picture that's been coming? It's been a picture of a bucket brigade. People coming to a central well into which they lower simple wooden buckets, retrieving the wonder, the living water that rests within. Raising them to the surface, they slosh away with peace in their steps, delivering the contents to those who the Holy Spirit directs. And when the bucket is empty, they return again to refill. Joy in their steps, peace in their hearts, people coming, people going, buckets in hand, delivering life, delivering water in all of its forms to a world that is thirsty and a world that is famine. Could this be the vision that God actually had in mind for his churches when we began? Nothing flashy, and certainly nothing mechanistic, devoid of people. Just people living in the world, bucket by bucket, carrying water to those that are thirsty. You know, someone once asked me, how do these churches grow? The answer is, they grow as we go. They grow as the priesthood carries buckets of water to those in the world that they've come to know to be thirsty or to be wounded, and those that have been disoriented or confused as to where the source of water in life really is. It sounds so arrogant in our world, but we believe that we have found a well of living water. And it's now up to us, through the Spirit, to carry that water into the world. The fundamental posture is one of going. And as we talk about in the next podcast, particularly for our churches, the value we have been called to is a mission of going, particularly to the marginalized and to the neighborhoods. What does that look? Next podcast, we're going to conclude these thoughts by looking at that. But we're going to begin particularly by looking at something that was said to the prophet Isaiah, something about buckets that I found very interesting.